This meeting is now being recorded.
Welcome. This is the Technical Study Group on Access to Non-Public Data, Who is Data? And I'm Ram Mohan. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2019 at 1600 UTC. And we're here in the close to final sessions of what we are trying to do. Gavin, you ran the call last time, so would you want to, do a recap and, get a sense of what we need to accomplish in today's call? And if we have a lot to do, let's do it. Otherwise, let's get to assignments and wrap.
Yeah, hi, Ram. This is Gavin. So on the last call, we were reviewing our notes from COVID. And putting together a list of action items for further development of the document. We hadn't quite finished covering the entire document, so we have a couple of more notes from Kobe that needed to be to go back over. We were kind of partway through the last but one before the meeting came to an end, and then we've got the one the final one that I think we should go through. Arising from that call, there were some action items which were recorded in the notes. There have been some changes to the document. I've made some today. I believe maybe some other people have as well. So I think what we could do is maybe just go over those last two reviewed notes from Kobe, and then go back to the document and look at the changes that we've made.
Okay. Would you mind, Gavin, taking us through and continuing, since you have the background and you already have the continuity, there's no need for me to step in, if you wouldn't mind.
That's absolutely fine. Yeah, I don't mind doing that. No problem at all. So,
thank you.
As I recall, there was a discussion. So the last but one note from Kobe was about two things. One was recognition that we hadn't really given any thought to any sort of estimate of exactly how much use the system would need to support or would expect to see, some kind of quantification of essentially what I characterized as a sort of satisfaction level of the users of the system. I think getting towards the end of the last call, I felt that we hadn't really kind of comprehensively covered this point. And I don't know if there were particular actions that needed to come out of that in terms of changes to the document. Now it was mostly a discussion between Steve and myself. Steve, do you have any thoughts on this particular item or where we might go forward in terms of addressing this in the report?
No, I've agreed to take a close look, but I haven't had time to dig into the document in its current state. I've got a couple of things on my queue, and that's one. It's not the top one, but it's high on the list, and I will get to it before we reconvene next week.
Okay, great. In that case, I think we can consider this particular item to be at least not closed off, but obviously work has been done. I mean, that's been clarified. So that leaves the last item on this page of the notes, which is about metadata. Comments on what to do with that data. Someone should be making calls on what to do with that metadata. Let's call that out in our document. So I guess we need to define the metadata. We're really talking about request metadata, aren't we? So it's about who's submitting a request, what they're submitting a request for, and potentially also why they're submitting that request. And metadata gets sprinkled around systems like this fairly freely. Is this something that potentially could be addressed in the data retention section of the consideration section, where we do talk about explicit retention of things like logs and registration data, but should we also call out metadata? Andy, your hand is up.
Yes, so I agree. And I think I'm on the hook for doing something to that section. So I agree. I can also put in issues about metadata and what that means for data retention.
Great. Thank you, Andy. Was there anyone else who had any comments on this point? Okay. I think then we can probably move on. And so that means we've basically reviewed all of our notes from Kobe. And so really the next steps for us is going through, changes to the document based on what we've discussed. So, we're now showing on the screen, we're showing a list of action items. I'm wondering how we kind of track the change of the actions and the changes that are needed. Is it worth transferring these actions to a separate maybe like a spreadsheet so that we can track them and mark them as done? Otherwise, we're going to be each time we have a call, we're going to generate a notes document, and that's going to have action items that are not necessarily copied over from previous documents. Did anyone think that might be a useful thing to do, just to kind of explicitly pull out the action items from this call and from the previous call and from our notes from Kobe, and then have an explicit done or not done mark against them, Andy?
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Pass one from Jody. Okay. I'm happy to do that exercise if it's not something that our friends of ICANN.org could do. Because I mean, it's just really going to be a copy and paste exercise to do that. I can put that together. No problem, John. So we don't end up missing things. This is really the motivation. So, okay. What I'll do then is I will make sure that gets done. And then when we have our next meeting, which, I believe is next Tuesday, we'll have, a good set of tasks and a way of tracking progress against them so that we're not going backwards and running over the same things over and over again. So I will do that. Andy, is that an old hand or a new hand?
No, it's a new hand. So the list that's in front of us, where is that? That's the face-to-face notes? Okay.
Yeah.
If I would like to, before you, what I'm asking here is if I want to try to get a jump start on doing some of the stuff this weekend. Because I'm slammed otherwise during the week at the moment. So can I just go ahead and start hitting some of these points that have my name on them?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing to stop you from going ahead and doing that. It's just that once they're done, you'll be able to put a little tick in a box, and then we'll know that we don't have to go back and make sure that we're not missed that item.
Okay, yeah, I didn't want to jump the process, but, I wanted to find some time this weekend to work on this. All right, thanks.
No problem.
Andy, I'm laughing out loud. This is Ram. I'm laughing out loud here because in our team, the process is whatever we create. So you just created a new process here.
Yeah, I didn't want to be stepping on Gavin's toes. So like I said, I'll do this weekend in between doing taxes.
Hey, but Gavin dances nicely.
I'm fleet of foot. Okay. So should we switch to the report and then review some of the changes that have been made? So
Gavin, is this what you're talking about? The technical models, that's what
yeah.
you want?
That's the one. Sorry, okay. Yeah, the technical model, yes.
Just making sure. Yes. Just making sure. No problem.
So I had a few items against my name to work on in the document since the last meeting, and I've made some changes. I think the first one is on page 3 at the bottom of page 3, and that's also had some feedback and input from Benedict.
Which are you looking for? Assumptions, emerging assumptions?
It's page 3, not sections. Apologies, page 3. So it's the next page up.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the bottom of that. There we go. So previously I'd added some text to the description of the ICANN RDAP gateway, and there was some discussion on the previous call about the use of the word caching because of its kind of semantics. Benedict has made a change to what I wrote to kind of change the text to avoid using the word cache or caching in terms of storing of registration data. His note against the change he made was that he didn't feel it read very well. My suggestion would be simply to remove everything after the last semicolon, because I don't necessarily need to expand on what we mean by I don't feel that last semi paragraph is needed. So any thoughts on that? Okay, so Andy hasn't agree. Scott is blissfully ignorant. Jody's going to review.
Hi, Gavin. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Jody.
Yeah. I mean, I just read your comment, and I'm sorry. I've been kind of caught up in the chat here. But, you know, as far as just removing everything after that semicolon, I'm fine with that. Is there anything else that you said? And, again, I'm sorry for being distracted here.
No, not at all. Okay, well, I mean, obviously Benedict's not here to defend his work, but I don't think he would feel particularly kind of married to that particular sentence. I think he recognizes that it has some limitations. So I think we can probably go ahead and just make that change and remove everything after that semicolon. And I think we can probably close off this particular change. I'm happy to do that, unless... Oh, it's been done already. Okay. Okay, so if we can then move on. Section 3, there's still some reviews to be done. Steve is going to be working on that. So we won't necessarily need to talk about too much about that. We can move on to section 4. So one of the things that I've changed in the document elsewhere, but it has an impact on use case number 1. So in use case number 1, we talk about reverse search, and it's the only place previously in the document where we talked about reverse search. And what I've done is I've added a new section called which is like the numbering needs to be sorted out. Section 6, the second section 6, outer scope requirements, where we talk a bit more about reverse search. So my proposal is that we remove the discussion about reverse search and possibly also the preceding sentence as well. So I was wondering if there was any feedback on that. Andy?
Yes, I believe... just for context, I thought we were going to put something about reverse search in the FAQ. So I think removing it here is a good idea, since we will probably be covering it elsewhere in the document about reverse search and saying, well, this is not part of the system. The ITS working on it will have to be addressed later, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can, when we get to the section six that I've created, you'll be able to see what I've put. I think it covers all the things you suggested. Okay, so Murray's comment about reverse search has been addressed in the chat, so I didn't need to comment. So unless there are no objections, I'm just going to remove that sentence about reverse search. I won't remove the section about bulk queries. Maybe we can come back to that later, but I think we can just remove this part here. So I will do that. Okay. Moving on to page 10. So this is the second section six. I've messed up the numbering, which I apologize. One of the things that came out of the last call was that a lot of the feedback we got in Kobe was about things that were really out of scope for what we were talking about, specifically reverse search. The idea of pseudonymity of registrant information, so some sort of hash or handle or whatever that would allow correlation of registrations. And I've put some text in here, which I obviously, it's come straight out of my brain without any input from anyone else. And so I would very much like some feedback on this. I don't know if we necessarily want to do it now, or maybe we do, or we can kind of flag, get a volunteer to do a review offline. And if anyone wants to just to kind of have a quick read of it now and give me some feedback, otherwise there's a volunteer for an offline review. So it's at 6 point, well, so the section title is six out of scope requirements, and then there are two subsections, so it's all of that, the whole section. Yeah. Okay, so Andy is volunteering to do an offline review, and so is Murray. That's great. Thank you, guys. And Jody, great. So, okay, lots of many eyeballs. That's good to hear. So just to give you a bit of what I was thinking about this is you know, we hear a lot about people wanting these things, understandably, but as we talked about in Kobe and elsewhere, they are cans of worms. So they open up lots of things that I don't think this group is able to address appropriately. Particularly, you know, cross TLD reverse search, we couldn't even begin to understand the technical feasibility of that sort of system. So I've put that into this section just to outline that this is it's too big a chunk for us to chew. And then on the idea of pseudonymity, like my justification for making that out of scope is really just it's a change to the data model. We're not really in the business of adding or removing things from the data model for registration data. So I think again that pushes us firmly outside of our scope. But again, any feedback or comments on that would be appreciated. So the next edit I've made is on section nine. Again, one of the actions that came from the previous call was to explicitly call out the fact that we do actually talk about having two systems, one asynchronous system, which is a web-based human interface, and the RDAP gateway, which is machine to machine. And so what I said that I would do as an action item is try and kind of work that into the existing structure of the document, which I've started here, which is not done. I didn't have time. So I will continue to work on this, before the next call. But what I've thought about doing is splitting, section nine, just to describe at a high level that the idea that there'd be two systems, adding a new section to talk about the web portal in a little bit more detail. And then the rest of the section 9 would be, you know, going on into the weeds of the RDAP OAuth model that we've developed. And I've put something in the section at the beginning of section 9 in the system components that says that either or both of these systems may be deployed according to policy development outcomes. I think that's a good catch-all for, you know, who the hell knows what's going to happen. Either way, however it turns out, the model can accommodate both ends of the spectrum. So what I will do is I will set myself an objective to complete that before the next call, and then we can review it. If I get it done early enough that it's reviewable before the call, then I'll send a message to the mailing list and call for some volunteers to review. Otherwise, we can go through it on the next call. Any comments on that particular point? I'm not hearing any. Okay, thank you, Scott, for volunteering to be a reviewer. You haven't seen, you don't know how long it's going to be, Scott, so you're taking a risk there. So my final edit to the document is in section 10. In fact, it's the last section of section 10, so it would probably be better to go to section 11 and then go up. So section 10.8, confidentiality of requester, confidentiality of requester's requests, which I think needs some work. So this again came from the previous call about the implications to requesters if the outcome of policy development is such that metadata about requests gets transmitted to contracted parties. There was a discussion on the last call with Benedict about differential privacy and this idea of masking your true intents by submitting lots of statistically similar requests so that your the true target of your interest is hidden within those requests. I didn't really know where I wanted to go with this. I think Benedict really needs to have a look at this. I think he understands this better than I do. But what I've written is there for you to see, but it ends with the TSG recognizes that requesters may attempt to use such techniques, but also recognizes that such techniques could have negative consequences on innocent third parties. So I talk about an acceptable use policy to try and mitigate those risks or deal with them. This is outside of my area of comfort, so I would defer to other people within the group on this particular item, but I thought I'd make a start so that at least we've got something to work from. Andy.
Yes, so wouldn't this just fall into the category of general abuse? I don't know if the DPA would care to get into the different types of abuses that you can do with the system, other than that they know that any system can be abused, right? So I'm a little uncomfortable with us, like, you know, stoking the fire of how things can be abused and letting, you know, showing people where those rat holes are in discussion. I think it's just better if we just say, hey, yeah, there are places where any system can be abused. This is no exception. If some government is allowed access to the system and they use it for nefarious purposes, that could happen. Yes, we've tried to build in things that allow for transparency, but, you know, still has to be guarded against. And I'm perfectly fine with saying, yeah, there should probably be an AUP, or terms of service or something like that. I don't know how that works in a legal context internationally, but, certainly I don't know if we should be getting very specific about the types of abuse.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah, I think this is a particular gray area because from what Benedict said on the last call, it did seem as though this idea of differential privacy, as he expressed it, in the form of multiple requests that hide the true request. That seems to me like that's the sort of thing that various researchers with various colored hats do, and they consider to be legitimate, and so they wouldn't consider it to be abusive. So I think it's as I say, this is well outside my area of expertise, and I'm going to defer to John, who's got his hand up.
Yeah, so I these are the kind of things that get dealt with in the policy realm, not within the technology realm, and I'm kind of with Andy here, that you know, we're going down rat holes here, of which there are many different variations, and these kind of techniques will change over time of how people play games with their queries and their data to, you know, achieve various things. I mean, we see this in all areas of the industry where people play different querying games to either mask what they're doing or to be able to do other things that they probably shouldn't be by the policy. I'm a bit worried that we could go down a whole rat hole of the various scenarios that just because somebody might do this today. I'm not sure we should be documenting all of these. I kind of like what Andy said, is that we understand that maybe abuse is not the word, but the processes might be manipulated, and that we should have AUPs or something in place to deal with that.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, I mean, so I don't want to put too much blame on Benedict, but I did feel that the things he said, we needed to tease them out in some way and address them. And as I say, I don't feel like got it right the first time. And I think I would like to just maybe, my personal feeling is we should just remove this entire section and not talk about it, and never mention it again. But I think Benedict, should have a look at it. And, just so I can understand a bit more what his thoughts are on this particular subject of this differential privacy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, volunteer him to look at this. But my personal feeling is that unless, he satisfies my concerns, yours, Andy's, that we should probably just remove the whole thing. Because we talk about, you know, I think things like dealing with abuse and misuse, will be covered by the policy side. And we all talk elsewhere about how we might handle complaints as well, complaints by data subjects and others. So let's put that down as something that Benedict needs to fix for us. And then we can probably put it to bed. So that's the only change, that's the last change that I've made to the document since the last call. I'm just scanning through, and I don't know if there are any other edits that people wanted to bring to the attention of the group, or any other comments. We still have half an hour left, which we should probably make good use of. Ram, did you have anything you wanted to bring forward?
Nothing new from me.
Okay, so can we end this call now, or I'm
happy to second your suggestion to end the call now.
Okay. Let's give people a chance to. Okay, we have a second or a third from Scott, a fourth from Andy.
Okay, we're good to go then.
Okay, thanks everyone. So everyone knows what their I don't know, five, or 42, whatever. Yeah, so we all know what we've got to do for the next call, and I'll speak to you all on Tuesday. we can end the recording.
So we have a
now.
Call. Sorry, we have a call next Tuesday, and if we do not have a call on Thursday, and then we're meeting face to face right after that. So we have one call left. So we're kind of in the home stretch here.
Oh, hey guys, this is Jody. I just have a question about travel. I mean, I've submitted a travel request, but I haven't received anything back yet. Is that still in the works for the 15th and 16th?
I'll chat with Diana and ask her to respond to you directly, Jody. And if anybody else is having travel or other issues, we'll get Diana to help on that.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take care.